Joanna M.
and Jessica Glassman, and welcome back to the Purpose Beyond Ourselves podcast. We are here with Emiliana Gorecka, the founder of the extremely successful Los Angeles Women's March.
She is an award-winning event producer, a community organizer with years of experience, and has spoken for many groups, including at Politicon in 2017, local universities, and other conferences.
We are super lucky to have her with us here today. So with that, let's get into the interview.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got into activism?
A little bit about my background. Okay, where should I start? So I'm a first generation Mexican American. I was brought to the United States undocumented. I grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I grew up in an area called Cabrini Green, which was poverty stricken, gang infested, and grew up there. I attended DePaul University, moved to Los Angeles to finish school at UCLA. I think I started activism at a very young age, working towards equality. I'm one of 13 kids. I was originally thought to be a boy. I was supposed to be a boy. And my name was going to be Emiliano, for Emiliano Zapata, a revolutionary Mexican. And here I come out, so I'm now Emiliana. So I've been fighting for equality, I think, ever since I could remember. I grew up in a very traditional household where, you know, the boys had more say than the girls. And then we, you know, we grew up fighting for housing rights in Chicago. We, you know, we weren't political, but we were active in our community, per se. I was, you know, I voted. I showed up to vote presidential elections and whatnot. But I got involved in organizing Women's March Los Angeles in 2016, a day after the election. In part because I felt like as a Latina, I would be missed. I also felt like I needed to organize something for those that could not go to Washington. And I needed to organize my community, which is something that I know, I know a little bit about. I've always been sort of a community organizer, but I didn't think that I was political.
And in terms of the Women's March, we know that you had a lot of really interesting speakers and like a very massive turnout. So what tools did you use to kind of grow that movement and make that event as big as it became?
So I, like I said, I'm a community organizer. And so I reached out and tapped out to everyone that I knew. We sort of worked on the ground as well as digital organizing. What most people think is that it was only organized on Facebook or Twitter, that it was just digital organizing. I can tell you that we were canvassing in communities. We passed out flyers all throughout LA County to have people join us. So we definitely tapped into almost every county out. We also had a lot of communities organize their own march. For example, Pasadena organized its own march, Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. Compton. And then what we did is we ended up, you know, speaking to all of them to say, sure, organize yours earlier and then join us because there's power in numbers. So we worked as a coalition. They definitely organized early and then joined us at our 10 a.m. We knew that the power was in the numbers instead of all of us spread out with a different message.
Okay.
So for us, it was, more of a community ground effort because we wanted to make sure that we were as inclusive as possible. And honestly, we were afraid no one would show up. Yeah. So we made sure that we were having touch points with as many communities as possible.
And I guess kind of adding on to your comment about kind of having a lot of unity and coalitions. And I think in the past few women's marches, there were a lot of, or at least a couple of conservative figures. Steven Crowder is a big one who kind of showed up to the march and made videos and like made a lot of conservative commentary while at the march, which led to a lot of people kind of backlashing against that and calling for them to be removed from the march. So do you think that these voices have a place in the march, or do you think that they present a danger to gender minorities who are participating at the march?
I think that if there is a danger to equality, a danger misogynistic tone to speeches, I think that no, they shouldn't be, because we're talking about inclusivity. We're talking about being an inclusive society and working on equality. And unless you are representing that and are working with us towards that goal, I don't think that this is the platform for it. I think that we have to have clear goals, and our clear goal is women's rights, is a human right, and equality. And if you do not believe in that, you should not have a space on our stage.
And in terms of that, like inclusivity, what would you say to groups of people or individuals who chose not to endorse the march, or continue to choose not to endorse the march, because of the Farrakhan controversy and the connections to anti-Semitism?
Right. So we are, Women's March LA is comprised of the two leadership, myself and Dina Katz. We're both Jewish. We are raising our families Jewish, in the Jewish faith and as an identity, because if people are like, well, it's religious, why are we talking about religious? No, it's also an identity. So we would say that in Los Angeles and throughout the entire nation, we're working towards making amends on that. I think that Women's March, Inc. Made a mistake in allowing that to happen, but also not responding adequately towards that. And I think it was late, it was clumsy, and it was hurtful. As a community, as an organizer, organizing with the same goal and movement, it was difficult. But I would say that we are working on all of it. I would say that you can reach out. We are working on equality, and that means everyone.
And I guess, like, adding on to that, what are the specific steps that your organization is making to improve the feminist movement and making it like more inclusive?
So I think part when you think of feminist movement, when I think of feminist movement, I think of not being included. The feminist movement in general has been about white feminism, right? Even when we got the right to vote, it wasn't all the women that got the right to vote. That came later. So for us, it's making sure that all the voices are at the table, and it's not just a seat at the table. It's the voice, because your voice matters. Your experience matters. And so, you know, when we talk about inclusivity, it has to be diverse and it has to be inclusive. We're talking about youth. We're talking about age, socioeconomic status, not just race, not just identity. So I think that's the different ways in which we reach out.
And how do you think that men specifically can practice a good form of feminism or be good allies?
I think the way that men can be good allies is to speak up. Right? To make sure, you know, I met someone that said, oh, I'm in the diversity team at a certain company. I won't say the name, but his idea of diversity was color. Mm-hmm. He didn't even think about more females within the leadership. Right? So I think it's to actually, you know, make sure you're standing up for women, make sure that as an ally, you understand that women are still not equal. And that as a man, you have a responsibility to work towards that. It's not just a woman's job. It's society's job.
Okay. And I think also that as students, we're wondering, I guess, if you think it is important for young, like more teenagers especially, to attend the march or other protests, and if so, why?
I think that students are the biggest piece to all of this. On our end, some of these first participants to help with any type of work were students from three different high schools and a few universities. Students are the biggest voting bloc in the United States. If students organized and voted, we would be doing what they want, really. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they do. So I think that that's an important piece to it. I also, historically, when you look at the, I'm going to call it an uprising, when you look of uprising of youth, change happens. When you look at the Vietnam War was stopped by students. When you look at Black Lives Matter, it was students marching. When you look at the gun violence epidemic, it's students that are working towards ending that. When we look at, the feminist movement, you see different clubs and different campuses on colleges working towards educating, right? And so I think that students are an important piece for any change to happen in this country.
And on that note, do you have any advice for students who are looking to become more engaged in their communities?
Absolutely. So I would say really plug into an organization that has youth programs. I think that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Figure out what you want to change and find and plug into an organization. For example, we currently are engaged in a back-to-school voter engagement program. Well, we were on 75 campuses on the first and second week of school. So these were students registering students. These were across the country campuses, because students want to be part of the process, and I think that we need to include them, and we need to give them the tools to do what it is that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. And I guess as an ending piece, what is one piece of advice that you would want to impart onto our viewers?
I would say that we have a long way to go for equality and equity, but I think it's doable. I think that we can all do something on a daily basis to move towards that goal, but also know that you have the power. You have the power to change things, and you have the power to create things. And that's what's needed. That's beautiful. I mean, oh my goodness. When I was in my 20s, no one could tell me no. When I was 18, no one could tell me no, right? So you have the future. You have our future in your hands. And I think that when you see how much power you have, you will be surprised. Because I think when you're young, you feel like, well, we don't really have any power. But you do. Know that you do. And find those people that will help you continue to empower yourself and your community.
Thank you so much for listening to the second episode of our podcast, Purpose Beyond Ourselves. We are so lucky to have had the opportunity to talk with Emiliana and learn from her experiences.
Be on the lookout for our next episode, where we interview Zoe Nicholson, an advocate of the Equal Rights Amendment, and be sure to check out some of the other podcasts on the Chronicle Podcast Network.